Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellence and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way. I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. Ooh, I got to get my shovel muscles ready, because it looks like it's about that time, right?
I don't know what it's like up where you are, but it's rainy down here.
But it's telling us it's going to happen.
It's telling us. It's announcing that the weather's coming.
I just appreciate I'm getting a heads up, as opposed to just dumping like 5 inches. Like people are talking, oh, it's going to be 5 inches as we about, and then it's like, well, it's rain. But I, you know, here's the thing: message received, Mother Nature. Message received. I'm gearing up. I got my salt. I got
my shovel. It is December, right?
I mean, no, right? It's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. No, absolutely. I'm just saying. So that's what's front of mind for me as we get into another episode, is that we are now moving in. We are halfway through December. So
halfway through December, man.
Right. And 2 weeks away from the end of the year. So welcome back to another episode of Imagine This Podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun one. We want to have fun as we head out of this calendar year. And so after
2020 has been so much fun. We just need to add to the.
Well, this is legit fun, not sarcastic, like gallows humor fun. We're having legit fun. As on the after the break, we're gonna bring our favorite band, the Docksiders, Milwaukee's own yacht rock specialists, Kevin and Aaron Suker, as well as Rob Martin. They'll be joining us in a bit. But before we get to that, just a little bit of news and notes from around the Imagine MKE.
Basically, the report out from Imagine These Holidays, the crazy December that we're undertaking, right? So the Milwaukee Cares for Arts and Culture grant program, which is the organizational grant program that's being funded by the CARES Act dollars allocated by the county. The application period just closed this last Friday, and I think just before we got on the air, Mac did some math to help us understand where we are with that program, how much people have asked for, and what the gap is. So, Mac, you want to take us through what you found?
Yeah, just want to give you a sense. We had 80 applications submitted. Again, these are all arts and cultural organizations, 501c3s, based in Milwaukee County. These are organizations that either produce arts and cultural events or are related, utilize arts and culture in their education or processes like that, right? So 80 organizations submitted applications. The total revenue of all these organizations, $162,885,000.
So
that's
right.
The revenue.
That's the revenue, right? So let us take in for a moment that the sector, right? And that's 80 organizations, not the
entire
sector, right?
That's just 80. That's just 80. That's just 80 orgs. Yeah. Right. And again, a great variety of types of orgs. Obviously, you got your bigs, but you also got some, you know, smaller local, you know, quote unquote mom and pop shops, if you were to use an analogy, right? So so a real diversity of orgs. David, we asked them to report your losses due to COVID. And the losses reported was $50,303,000 was the implications because of lack of revenue due to the inability to do shows, the inability, processes interrupted, et cetera, $50 million. However, there have been relief throughout the year, right? And like PPP, you know, the all-in grants from the state were there. And so from that $50 million, right, of losses, these combined groups have already received $19.8 million of relief. So there has been some relief, right, provided at the federal and state level, which, however, David, when you add it up, there's still a $30.5 million deficit.
Yep.
They still need to fill that hole. And this is only a $700,000.
Yeah.
I know we say only. I mean, these are big numbers with lots of zeros. I get it. But just wanted to allow the listener to get the context. This is great that we got the support, but these orgs are still trying to figure out how to close the gap.
Yeah, you know, and I think the other take home, right, is that $30 million of gap, right, between the losses and the relief received, that is the amount of the state arts and cultural grant program that the state put out, right, earlier this year. So the $30 million gap that we're still experiencing right now was the
just in the county.
Just in the county. And so this, I think it really puts into stark a relief the challenges that our sector continues to face, and that it is, you know, the nonprofit arts and culture sector, $162 million in revenues, just in 80 organizations, right? I mean, this is the sector-wide impact of nonprofit arts and culture in our city is huge, and also the need, especially given the challenges right now with regard to the ongoing effects of COVID, are pretty intense.
This is $30 million that need to go not just to artists, not just the folks running the orgs, but these are the folks building the sets.
Yep.
These are the folks making the meals for the shows, you know, or vending during the shows. This is materials, right? This is everything, you know. So this is the economy. Right. Yes, we want to talk about artists, but also all of the folks that go into either producing events and or educating young people and or making sure that those events can happen. So this is a massive, you know, just want to shine a light and amplify again. This is a legit industry that drives a state, drives a city. And it's great. Thanks to the county for trying to help out. But again, beyond this experience, we gotta keep raising.
We still got to do more, right? The $700,000 is great help. It's twice as much as the annual fund for the arts budget.
Already,
it is a good help, but like we really need we need our city to come through and invest their CARES dollars in arts and culture. But we really need the federal government to really do something about ensuring that there are more relief dollars coming to our sector.
Yep.
In whatever the next package of coronavirus relief is. And that is, I think, the bottom line here, right? Because there's no amount of charity, right? There's no amount of individual donors out there that's going to be able to help this sector through. It's got to be our country coming together to say, you know, we've experienced an incredibly devastating worldwide pandemic, and we need to come together as a society to recognize what we value, what's important, and support it, so that we can make it through as this vaccine is coming through. Right? I mean, this vaccine is landing this weekend in Wisconsin. Frontline workers are getting the vaccine, so we need to just make sure that we can get through this next amount of time before we get to community protection with this vaccine and can get back to a sense of business, the next normal in our sector.
So that's the County CARES. Again, thanks again to the county, the leadership of our county supervisors, and our chair, David Crowley. Thanks for investing back into that. And so we'll be, thankfully, we only do the intake. We don't have to do necessarily the the selection. We leave that to the county to do the math.
Some checks.
Write the checks, but it's not like we're the ones parsing out, you know, you get this. Also, simultaneously, we're in the middle of, by the time you hear this, we'll just have closed our Holiday Artist Relief Fund. And hopefully we're going to be hearing ability to distribute $500 micro grants, if you will, to provide relief to artists and creatives who've lost business due to COVID or the service industry, because again, a lot of folks work in the service industry and or other medical emergencies. And so we are intending to distribute $100,000 by the end of the year. And our guests at the end of this, at the main event of this, are going to help us get there. But just want to let you know that that's also happened as well. What else do we want to report out on, David?
A little bit of fun. We were asked by Milwaukee's most fabulous events planner,
yes,
David Caruso, to provide some holiday entertaining tips. One, amongst a range of 30 other Milwaukee celebrities, or are we celebrities? I don't think we are, right? We're just well-known Milwaukee people. Well-known Milwaukee leaders have been asked by David to provide some entertaining tips over the holidays. And so our tip is going to come out on Wednesday. Make sure you go to his website, Events by DC, on Wednesday to see how Imagine MKE, what Imagine MKE's tip is to spice up your holiday party, to make sure you feel connected to your guests over this funny Zoom thing that we have to convene on. So make sure you tune in on Wednesday. Tips are going to start coming out on Tuesday on his website. So
we got a lot going on here, and always stay tuned. So even though it's the end of the year, we're excited to keep kicking out the jams to support the sector. Speaking of kicking out jams, let's talk about our next guest. We're going to be bringing on Kevin Suker, Aaron Suker, and Rob Martin. They're from the band The Docksiders, your 2019 Whammy Wisconsin Association Music Industry Artist of the Year, New Artist of the Year. They're made up of music industry veterans. Kevin himself is a three-time Grammy nominee, so there's some serious chops, not only the performance, but the production side. And it's a unique tribute act of your favorite soft rock songs of the 70s and 80s, defined as yacht rock. They've been entertaining people, thousands of people for years, this genre, and now they're sort of quote unquote bringing it back. I don't think it ever went away, but they're bringing it back, and they've been just in a short amount of time have really hit the scene. And we're going to bring them not just to talk about yacht rock, but to talk about how they're going to benefit and support our stages as well as our Milwaukee artists. So coming up after the break, the vocalists and the genius behind the Docksiders. We are so excited to have Kevin, Aaron, and Rob here in the virtual recording space. Welcome, y'all.
Thank you for having us, Mac.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
And David.
Thank you.
Welcome to the 407th ranked arts podcast.
Which makes us first in Wisconsin. Though.
First in Wisconsin, 407th in the country. I just checked our chartable. So you're going to help us get up. You're going to help us get up to threes at least. I think once we get to 100, we're pushing mattresses. We'll be doing reads for mattresses.
Well, this is basically our sweeps week, right? Because Kevin Suker, you are, I think, in the top 10 of previous podcast episodes. So, and you are also now the first on our show, and you are now the first repeat guest on our podcast.
Yeah. The analytics department gave us the numbers and they're like, you got to bring Kevin back.
You got to bring
Kevin
back.
I'm honored, but I just have to be really, really clear with you guys. I have Rob and Aaron joining to me, so I'm pretty sure we'll get past the 1,000 point now with those guys.
Can't wait. Oh, yeah. No, I know.
If it was just me, we would be skyrocketing.
This is like those wrestling pay-per-views where, like, we're going to put them on scaffolds and we're going to light it on fire. Like, we're just going to keep ramping
right?
up.
Right? I'm just joking. These guys make me look better in our band, and they make me look better on podcasts. So I was really, like, a sigh of relief when you said, hey, could some of the Docksiders join you? I was like, absolutely.
Right on. And so as David said, just context setting, because I am king of context. We had you last time in your role as the executive director of Radio Milwaukee 889. And at that time, Radio Milwaukee was a partner of the Artist Relief Fund back in the day, as well as also helping us do Milwaukee Strong, making that made a hit record. Now we're back, but you are now wearing a different hat. And you're here with your comrades in arms as a member of the Docksiders, America's number one yacht rock tribute band. That is statistically and qualitatively and quantitatively accurate.
True, 100% true.
That's 100% true. So welcome. I'm excited. Me and David have both shared that we are big fans of the genre and also fans of y'all. So this is like peanut butter and chocolate, two great things coming together, happening one time. So welcome, y'all. Thanks for being on the pod. And I guess, first of all, we got to talk origin story, and then we'll come to the presents. Tell me about how the Docksiders came together. Was it pulled out of Athena's brain and then like you all were fully formed, or was it like you landed from a meteor from like, you know, I don't know, like Superman type stuff, you landed in Smallville? What is the origin of how the Docksiders? It's like Voltron, you know, five random robots came and formed like some mega thing. I'm 45 years old, so that's where the references work. Yeah. Anybody under 30 is like, I don't get
it. He's riffing right now.
I don't get any of this. Go ahead.
Give me some more analogies.
Go ahead.
This is great. And I'd like to just start it off by saying Rob and I were on that Italian ship liner that fell over onto its side. And we found ourselves in a life raft together. And we said, we should be in a band. This is fun. Yeah. Let's talk about, sing about. No, I'm just totally digressing. But I'll let Robbie answer this
one. So I didn't know this at first, but Kevin had been listening to XM Radio, and they already had the Yacht Rock station on there. And he one time called me and he said, hey, do you want to go to a Toto concert up in Oshkosh? And I said, of course.
Toto.
Yes, yeah. Of course. And the venue is really cool because you can get really close to the stage. So we met David Page and Lukather before the show.
Steve Lukather. Here we go.
Kevin ran up to him like a kid running up to his crush. It was crazy. He's like, don't say anything. I'm like, okay. He gets up. He's like, hi, guys. I'm like, oh, my God, this is incredible. So anyway, we were driving home. We're listening to XM Radio, Yacht Rock Radio, and I heard some songs I haven't heard since I was a kid. And I was like, oh, my God, I remember this song. And he told me, he's like, I want to put a band together and do this. I'm like, I'm in. Whatever. I'm in. And then it went for like a year where nothing happened. And then all of a sudden he called me in November of, I think it was 2017. And he's like, hey, we have a show in April. And I went, wait, what? He said, we have a show in April. I said, where? And he said, one of the venues here locally. And he's like, yeah, so we got to start rehearsing. I said, do we even have a band? He's like, yep, everything's ready. Just got to get the rehearsal things set together. We stepped to rehearsing and had our first show, and it was, you know, it was, I mean, by our standards now, it was, you know, not as good as it could have been, but the response was insane. The room that we were in was front to back, standing room. Oh, wow. Yes. So it just took off from there.
And so many things. Yeah. What? Did you see Porcaro? Was Steve Porcaro there? Was he also? That's the first thing.
These two guys were out for a walk. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a music fan in ear only. Like, I enjoy music. I'm not the guy that goes and then looks the band up and looks up all the history and tries to figure out their names like baseball guy. You know, I have friends that know every baseball player on every team since 1920. I'm not that guy. I'm just like, ooh, I really like that song.
Yeah,
Kevin's the guy that remembers all the names. So we're walking to the venue and he sees these two guys on the riverfront walking and he immediately goes, oh, that's Paige. Look at her. And I'm like, who?
So Kevin, it sounds like Rob said like, yeah, I'm in. And then all of a sudden a band emerges. You put this band together. Was it like Blues Brothers where you had to kind of go to different stations and like convince people to leave their wives and like, well, how did you find the band? How did you assemble the band? Cause it's like Rob was just kind of summoned and he was brought in at the right time. But
there's a small detail that Rob didn't mention. Okay. And that's why Rob doesn't really speak for the band. I love him. He is my brother. But we have known each other for 30 years, so we play with each other like this all the time.
Yeah.
Rob does speak for the band. Go ahead, take it, Rob. I'm just kidding.
I don't know the detail.
We were in a band about 15 years earlier together. Aaron, myself, Rob, and the drummer who's in the Dockside is a guy by the name of Chris Coleman. So we had this sort of chemistry, the three of us and Chris. Right. And when the idea came, you know, I had not really been making music for almost a decade, and I had been managing artists, and my career in the entertainment industry was doing a lot of other things. I was traveling the world, putting on concerts for in different sort of countries and venues, and it was just the right time. Like I had gotten back to Milwaukee, my business was working, I had some younger managers that were out on the road, so I didn't have to travel as much, and I said, you know what, I could put a band together again. And I reached out to obviously Rob and to, I live with Erin.
You didn't have to reach out to me.
She is my wife and she's an amazing singer. One of amazing. The best singers I've
amazing.
Ever
met. Yes.
Love the recent EP, Erin. I don't know if I shared that with you.
We'll be sure to plug that too. We got to plug that, but yes. Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
And then I just kind of did like a dream wish list of musicians in Milwaukee that I have known for years and that if I was going to put something together, I would ask. And every one of them said, I'm in. And our sort of thought process was, let's not put a band together to go out and play bars, which is, you know, probably pretty typical. We thought like the tribute scene was booming, right? There's a lot of acts that are out touring, actually playing full on theaters that are putting on real shows. And I said, let's take some of the experience that we've had, you know, building some shows for other people. Let's build a show for ourselves. Let's maybe start it in a club and see if this thing has any legs. And if people really are interested in listening to yacht rock music in Wisconsin, that was also another challenge. And like Robbie said, like the first show we had sold it out, and it was mind blowing. Like I thought, like my gut told me that you know, 40 to 60 plus, this is going to hit really probably smart in. And it did. And we were built basically to play theaters. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, we were really catching a lot of steam. We've got a really great agent.
Yeah.
Who's booking us. And we had a tour booked for 2020 that, like every other touring entity, has basically paused our touring plans and moved them now into, hopefully, into 2021.
Well, you all were like the 2019 like Artist of the Year, Whammy Artist of the Year. So that speaks to how new, right? Like how it's put together. But like when me and David caught you all, or at least I'll say my, y'all sounded so tight. Yeah. Like again, I know you and Rob had played together, and Aaron, you live together, so that helps the chemistry. But
that helps with the chemistry.
And of course, Aaron just so talented, a lovely voice. But there is something right, this notion of you picked all these players that you kind of knew and wished, and like something wonderful right away. Right. Not just the people in the audience, but you all knew on, you know, as you're playing together, as I'm sure as you're prepping, there's something here about this. And there's something about the genre too, about the genre as well.
And it's funny, you know, like there's a lot to be said about, you know, good bands in any genre, right? Mm. Like there are some really good punk bands. There are some really good rock bands. There are some really good pop bands. But what, you know, what I kind of knew getting into this yacht rock genre was these songs were going to be difficult. These aren't three chord songs. And these were all played in an era where there was no technology that was helping correct pitch. There was no technology necessarily helping correct or, you know, duplicating choruses where you had to sing it once and you could repeat it. Mm. So these were real players playing in real songs that had real singers. So I think we got really lucky in a lot of ways. There are some amazingly talented musicians, as you guys know, in the Wisconsin, in the southeastern Wisconsin area. There were some friends of ours that we'd known for years that was in another really popular tribute act. They had a classic rock act called Rhythm Method, and they did a Styx tribute called Light Up.
Ooh.
And they had done it for 20 years, and they both were leaving their band at the same time. And the marriage of those two guys, Bobby Rouse and Brent Tarides, like timing was just almost, you know, they say it's half the secret. So we're working with those guys, and then we just kind of bolstered it with some amazing players. Theo Merriweather is probably one of the best piano players in southeastern Wisconsin, in my opinion. Yeah. And we've got a new bass player by the name of Matt Vollmer, who is incredible. Mm. He's played with a lot of people. And Clay Connor, who plays with a Steely Dan tribute out of Madison, and he's our resident sax player. So that kind of rounds out the whole group.
Now, Rob, are you vocals? Because
that's the cool part about this music is that it was so vocal heavy.
Yeah,
and the treat that this was for me, at least as a singer, was I got to perform with those two.
Yeah,
so. We, as Kevin mentioned, we had always had this sort of chemistry. And even when the first time that we met, Aaron and Kevin and I had been friends since like 89, I was still in college. But the opportunity to get on stage with those three and sing anything where the three of us get to harmonize, that was my payment. Like,
yes.
I was all in for that.
Yeah.
The fact that all of this other stuff happened, one, because of the interest in Dockside or in yacht rock music, but then two, because we were putting something into Milwaukee that no one was doing at the level we were doing it.
Yeah.
And then the response, that's for me, icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So,
and I keep referring that as payment to Rob when I hand out checks to everybody. You know, everybody else gets an envelope.
Yeah, my wife wanted to ask
and Robbie,
you about
I
that.
Look at and I say, remember that feeling that we love?
Rob, you, there's no money now. You, man. No money now, but
there's
going to
be money, I promise.
On your deathbed, you'll have total consciousness.
Right.
You got that. You got
that's
that.
Right.
I got that.
Gunga, gunga, gunga.
So, you know, got that going for. For Mac and me, going to the concert in February, you know, we didn't know what to expect, right? And we saw some of the videos on the website, but we didn't know like the scale of the show that you were putting on.
Yeah.
And I think we were just really blown away by again how tight, of course, right? How tight the band was,
sound,
how great yeah. it sounded, and just the scale of that parking lot show. And I think, yeah, I figured. Everybody's pointing to Kevin. For those who aren't watching at home, I think the thing that was just I think really surprising about that to me, and this was sort of my experience coming out of that show, is I didn't recognize how much I would have liked standing in a parking lot watching live music, right? And that was yeah. partially because just not having been to anything, right? For since February. It was the first show that I'd been to since
that was the
February.
Summer, right? So this yeah. is summer and it was up in Mequon, I believe,
yeah.
right?
The July?
July 24th was the date out in a parking lot in Grafton.
Yep. Grafton. Yeah. That's right, Grafton, yeah, north. Yep.
So what was that like for you all being able to play, right? Rehearse and play after, you know, being in quarantine for so long?
We had a hard time because, you know, as you can imagine, the pandemic has affected everybody, you know, very uniquely, right? Like, so we have 13 people in the band wow. and crew. So trying to keep everybody happy is a very difficult task.
With and different levels of like feeling of safety too, right?
That's right. Yeah. And you almost have to go to whoever feels the most comfortable, right? Like, so we had to the least comfortable, I'm sorry. Yeah. So Erin is a microbiologist and she is very
yep,
much
certified dork.
You're the ringer. You're the ringer on the squad when it comes to science. I like it.
She had very, very strong feelings about, you know, we rehearse in our home. And it was like, well, where are we going to rehearse? We haven't played since January. So here we are 6 months later. We need to get a rehearsal in. So some quick thinking, we decided we would rehearse on our driveway and we would invite 50 homes around us and make it a block party, essentially. I went to the village and talked to the police and they said, there's no noise ordinance. So even if someone calls to complain, all we can do is come by and say, can you turn it down? He's like, you don't really have to. And then we decided we were going to bring a food truck to the driveway. So we had an amazing rehearsal the week before the show where we had about 75 people sitting in our front yard, bringing their own, socially distant, bringing their own chairs. I said, bring your own bottles of wine. Our friends and falafel guys brought a food truck out. And it was shocking. Like I said to the... I kept saying to the band, I think we're going to surprise ourselves, even though we haven't played.
Yeah.
Now we rehearsed like every Wednesday. So even when we weren't playing, we were every week we're running the show from top to bottom. And it
for
was
two
like
years.
For 2 years, right? It was like riding a bike. So
we
did the rehearsal and then the week later we went and played the show.
How long was the set? It was a good 90 minutes.
It was a good amount
of time.
It was
a healthy 2 hours. Yeah. It was a healthy set. Yeah,
yeah. We do a full 2 hour.
Yeah,
from front to back. Sometimes it goes a little longer.
But too. You also have again rotating vocalists allow you to kind of sustain that because if one person had to carry 2 hours, that's a lot on one person. But I think that carries it together.
But there's something about, you know, the fact that we all have to still do background vocals. With
oh, that's true.
Songs.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So yes, we're not singing lead for those 2 hours, but we do have intricate background vocals for almost all of those songs.
Yeah.
What's even more interesting, Mac, is the amount of music that we have to push aside.
Call. You have to call, right? You gotta tighten it down. Yeah.
We sit at the, so Kevin has done a brilliant job and Erin, as hosts, have done a brilliant job of creating this sort of family atmosphere. So after a rehearsal, we'll we'll hit it hard for 2 hours or 3 hours, come upstairs and there's a dinner waiting, and sit around their dining room table when, you know, obviously when it was a COVID era. Yeah. And the almost predominantly, almost every night, the talk was, we should do this song, this song, this song, this song, this song, this song. And we had to call all of those and refine it down to these songs. And even then we're at 2 hours. So there's this conversation constantly of, are we too long? Are they getting enough from us? Should we change this song? Cause it's got a, you know, 5 minute lead in and all that. So,
Well, that's funny, right? Because Mac and I at the show were like, are they going to play this song? Right? Like, because we're
all did
like
play waiting, that song. Right? Yeah. I was like, you know, they'll play that song. Yeah.
So there's a screenwriter in Los Angeles. I can't remember his name, but he's the guy that theoretically coined the term yacht rock. Yeah. He did that YouTube yacht rock.
Yeah. That I listened to that. JD Riznar. And they did the show, Channel 101. They did the yacht rock show. Yeah.
JD and I just got in a little bit of a Twitter match.
Oh,
I'm releasing some of the news a little bit, but my feeling is that yacht rock is a genre for people. I don't care if he coined the word, he doesn't wear a crown, in my opinion. It has become, it has become the people, you know, to determine. And there are songs that what we find in the yacht rock community is that there's songs that diehard yacht rock fans are like, that's not yacht rock.
Yeah,
this is yacht rock. So there's this, is it yacht or nyacht?
Yacht or not.
Right. So we, JD and I just had a really interesting Twitter.
you're a loose constructionist, as it were. You're an open, you're not a strict constructionist. You're like,
people own yacht rock. Like, who's to say, like, I really agree. Like, you know, what is the definition of yacht rock? I would be interested to know from David and Mac's perspective what your feelings about the genre is.
This is good.
So this is a good question, and this is something that I've spent probably an inordinate amount of time thinking about.
for you. When you do the movie thing, I'm just like, here comes David.
I was waiting.
So I'm probably a strict constructionist on yacht rock. I probably fall in the time of, like, it's in the short period, right? Hall & Oates probably not yacht rock. It has to be of that sort of, like, turnover from late 70s to early 80s, probably like a 2 year period, where you have to have the session musicians that, you know, really sort of created the sound and the feel of the albums that were coming out at that time. Yeah,
there's no Rob Temperton. It's like, it's got to have Temperton in it. It's got to have Porcaro's got to touch this somewhere. You have to draw the line.
I'm also very sympathetic to the idea to the more expansive view, right? Because there are so many great songs that sort of like pop that sort of are in the realm that evoke that feeling, right? That evoke the feeling of that period.
I think part of our thought process, and that is definitely a purist take on like the true definition of Southern California yacht rock, right? Where that whole sort of thought process started. But there is this sort of blurry lines where some of those songs are such guilty pleasures. Even like, I remember sitting in a dentist office when 1982 and you know, Heat of the Moment would come on by
Ooh.
And I would be like, this song, you know, with fluoride in my mouth and a vacuum going, this song isn't all that great. But, and if my friends knew I loved it, I would never be able to come to a party again. So, like, you know, like, I think where we blurred the line a little bit in our song selection process is, it can have that guilty sort of like, ooh, I shouldn't like this song, but I adore this song. And it was in that time frame. So like our Carpenters yacht rock.
I think for me, I'll say I'm a little to the left of David when it comes to a feeling. Like I think the feeling, there's a sort of a hedonism a little bit, right? There's almost this, again, back to the socioeconomic times, the Reagan era prosperity. There's a little bit of like, I want a better life. We're trying to get out of the Iran 70s Carter thing. You know, like that plays with me. So when I hear a yacht rock song and there's an optimism or a carefreeness, you know, I might not be able to afford a boat, but I'm with people that are, you know? And so, because then really you just want to know the boat guy. You don't want to own the boat. But I think
I sound just like Floyd Mayweather. Just like,
so anyway, I would say, yeah, but I think to me, it's a feeling. And at the end of the day, these are hits. These are songs that are hits. They connect. Yeah. And that's why we're, you know, like, I don't have to be like, oh, there has to be a Steely Dan, Toto, Doobie Brothers, you know, it has to be in it. Yeah, so.
No, I'm definitely on the Scalia side of this, of the Yacht Rock Supreme Court.
So with that being said, there are very few female Yacht
that's
Rock
right.
hits.
That's right.
That's kind of where we stretch it because
you have to.
You have to.
You have to.
Otherwise, why am I on stage?
You're the best looking one of all of us.
And the best sounding one.
That's right too. That's Thank exactly you. Right.
There's like we've talked about. There's parts of Steely Dan that aren't yacht rock.
Yeah.
You got Michael McDonald who crosses into this weird early '80s pop.
Yeah.
Where it becomes very electronic, and he stops being yacht rock. Yeah, we've talked about the Eagles. Are certain songs from the Eagles yacht rock, or are they all classic rock because they're the Eagles? So we've had some doozies where we've had some there's 9, you know, the core member of the band, the performance side of it. There's 9 people with 9 separate opinions on what does constitute yacht rock. And we've got everything from purists to, you know, let's do this song because it makes me feel like I did when I was a kid, and that's yacht rock to me.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what's excited is that the passion comes through and the audience loves it, right? The audience wants to be there. I know I want to be there and do it. And there's now COVID can't tour, but there is a show. We're going to have a show on New Year's Eve. I want to talk about this. Tell us about the New Year's Eve show. How it came about and how y'all gonna execute it. Would love to hear about that.
Well, we were slated to play our show, an annual performance at the Pabst Theater, which is probably one of our favorite places, if not the favorite place to play in Milwaukee. It's the place where we get to bring in our 32-foot LED wall and show all the videos that we've created that you know, really gives the audience a look into what the intention of the band was from the very beginning. So once we learned all the new sort of capacity rules that were in place, and you know, the last thing we want to do is you know, start playing a show and have everybody go, yeah, I got sick as heck at the Docksider show. We don't need that sort of stuff. So we decided that we were not going to be playing at the Pabst, and we looked into 2022. So you're hearing it here first, January 15th, 2022, we're playing at the Pabst Theater. Let's hope everybody's healthy and we're past this pandemic at that point in time. Otherwise, we'll have to move that one as well.
Breaking news.
Decided with our friends over at the Pabst Theater Group and our agent, you know, I kept saying, you know, let's do a stream. Like, maybe we don't do it with an audience and we just do a stream. You know, we want to play. I miss playing with my brothers in music and my wife. And if there's a way we could be in a place that we could make some music, that would be great. And then the idea started changing. Then I started thinking about my friends over at Imagine MKE, who we love supporting at Radio Milwaukee. And I said, wow, how cool would this be if my band could help raise not only awareness, but financial support for what you guys do, unlike anybody else in southeastern Wisconsin, which is creating grant opportunities for displaced musicians throughout this unparalleled year of closure. So, and then, you know, our friends at the Pabst Group, I was like, this could be great to also find a way to financially benefit NIVA, which is their National Independent Venues Association. They have been closed as well. So thankfully, we all have some day jobs where going and putting on a concert, if, you know, in a normal world, we'd be like, yeah, of course, it's nice to get a couple dollars for the effort and the time and the investment that we've all put in. But in the current state that we're in, we thought, how great would this be for our community? How great would this be for these people that are doing incredible work, such as yourselves?
Mm-hmm.
If we can support, we should support. So I brought it to the band before I told anybody. And there was nobody that was like, heck no. Everybody mm-hmm. was like, let's do this. Of course, let's figure it out. So it's been a process and it's happened very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really interesting COVID protocols in place that we weren't expecting. And it's made it very, very challenging. And there is quite a possibility. I don't know when this podcast is going to air, but we're recording, we're recording parts of the show prior to it. And if anybody gets ill between now and New Year's,
oh, wow.
I don't know if it's going to happen. Like, yeah, right. There's just this strange caveat of let's all hope that we're all isolated enough and that we walk into the room that, you know, we have to be tested before we even get into the room, including all the video people, including the Pabst Theater people and the band and the crew. So to make sure that we can all be within, you know, around each other for 15 hours a day doing this. So there's a lot of challenges to try to make this happen, but we're all committed to try to figure it out.
So you all are recording parts of it pre-recorded, but then you're also recording a show actually at Turner Hall that's being produced by our great friends at Mindpool Live as well, right? So there's sort of additional complexity that you all are actually coming together to do a thing with a lot of folks.
Yeah, and as of right now, we've got some amazing friends that are contributing to this. You know, one of the bands that's made Milwaukee famous, the Bodines, they've got a new record coming out, and I think they're going to share one of their new singles for this particular event too, which nobody will have heard yet. We've got Sean Hinton and Shotgun, one of our collaborators on the Milwaukee Strong project. We have Brittany Free and Quentin Farr going to be performing. A really great local band called Rocket Cat. Out of Whitefish Bay, they're going to be performing. So our idea was to just try to open up our arms as wide as we could to some of the other artists in the community and say, look, listen, we want to raise as much as we can. We have a pretty lofty goal, and the hopes are that we can garner some help from other musicians. And so they'll be sending us pre-recorded audio and visuals that we'll edit into the final broadcast. And it should be a wonderful, I'm thinking it could be a really great way to stay at home and celebrate New Year's Eve and help us raise money for some really, really great causes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and you're doing it with Mindpool, which is top of the line industry right there. So that's super exciting. It's going to be, like I said, you all bringing in the ringers, not just on stage, but behind the boards. And I'm going to be the guy in the chat going, still the night, play still the night. I'm going to be that guy. The Bodines are like, can you mute that guy? Just get rid of that guy.
Get rid of that dude.
Get rid of that dude. Well, he's with Imagine. I'm kidding. No, just take his lanyard, take it away, whatever. And just don't let him in. That's when David had told me like the Bodines were coming, like the Bodines, like, oh my gosh, wow. And he said, Be Free and all these great groups. It's phenomenal. So looking forward to it. And again, it's New Year's Eve and we're going to plug many times. How can people access that? You know, we'll plug it again and again, but just remind us, how can people go to Docsiders? Like, how do they buy tickets? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, all the information will be either on our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/thedocsiders, or you can go to thedocsiders.com as well. And there'll be links to take you there. We have a really great web platform where you can not only purchase the $20 that you can use to stream to your family at home and watch, but there's also a button to make a donation as well. So our hopes are, and I'm saying it, we have a lofty goal of trying to raise $50,000.
Woo!
So we're gonna try really, really hard, but we need everybody's help spreading the word. That's where the magic's gonna happen.
That's awesome.
And I think the thing too, Kevin, that is really exciting about this is that, you know, with the Artist Relief Fund, we have a goal of getting to $100,000, and we're, you know, plugging away, right? We're getting there. Any funds raised above that number actually will go to seed a forever artist relief fund in Milwaukee, so that, you know, past COVID, if people get into accidents, you know, have other personal tragedies or emergencies, that there will be at least a fund around that will help our city's artists to be able to weather any sort of financial storm. So so thank you for the commitment to ensuring that there is, you know, a stream of dollars coming in for this fund, even if we get beyond that goal.
Well, I mean, listen, I know I said it earlier, but the work you guys do for the state of Wisconsin and in Milwaukee is unparalleled. And, you know, when I'm wearing my professional hat as the executive director of Radio Milwaukee, I'm proud to call you guys friends. And when I take it off, I'm equally as proud to call you guys friends. So I just am happy that we can help to amplify the work that you're doing, and hopefully use it as a moment to really kind of impress upon the city that we can have some fun on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
We can listen to some old soft rock together and raise money for such an amazing endeavor.
Man, so that is awesome. I'm excited. I know I got plans. My plans are made. And I'm gonna get many that come out to that show. I don't know. Can you get like the lyrics in the lower head corner? We'll sing at home. I don't know. We gotta figure this out.
Great idea.
Matt will plug in the karaoke machine.
Sing along, like the Disney sing along. I gotta get some for us.
The movie Grease, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a cool idea.
Because, you know, I mean, obviously, you want to appreciate the pros, if you will. But, you know, there's some tracks. By the way, Rob, were you singing? I think if I remember correctly, were you the one who's laying lead on a Loggins track at the concert? Did you do
Heart
Loggins?
To Heart? Yeah.
That was a song that I didn't know that was coming, but when I heard it and I heard you crush it, I told David, I'm like, that's a song of the night, because you were getting high
on
that one. And it's got some phenomenal instrumental action. Like that's an all play.
So when we started this thing, it was just me, Kevin, and Aaron sitting down at a rehearsal table on Saturday mornings. And Kevin said, okay, so you got to pick one song or two songs that you're completely inflexible about. What songs do you have to do?
Yes.
And so I said, I'm singing Heart to Heart. That's all.
That's it.
And then Aaron was Lotta. Was it?
Not Lotta Love.
What was it?
Now I can't remember. You got me put on, If I Can't Have You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that's stretching the purest yacht rock. Yeah. But that was my, I told Kevin, I said, if I can't do this song, I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. This international sign for I'm out. It's the lower, and for those who can't see it, it's the palm down across the neck. It's I'm out, I'm gone.
And Kevin's was Steal Away.
Oh, that's you got the bounce on Steal Away, the Robbie Dupree bounce.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I'm going back to Heart to Heart. Rob, I'm not saying this because you're on. I literally said to Dave, I'm like, that's the track of the night for me. Like,
it's true.
He is crushing Heart to Heart. There's a strut on that song. Bam, bam, bam. And that was also like minute 75. So I'm like,
it was also late in the night, too.
Those guys are digging. They're like digging right now to crush that track. So this is my subtle way of saying that's got to be on the New Year's Eve playlist. I got to have Heart to Heart.
Oh, it's going to
be. I can reveal nothing.
Okay, I know. Well, how about this? Sources close to the campaign.
Right.
Sources close to saying. Whisperers are saying. Anyway, I'll be tuning in for Heart to Heart because that is great. All right. So
you've sort of given a bit of a preview for this next bit, right? Which is fun and games time for us. We typically have a segment in our podcast where we make our guests the arts and cultures are. But today, given that we have America's favorite yacht rock band on our show, it's going to be the Czar of Yacht Rock. So we're going to ask each of
or Czarina
or Czarina of Yacht Rock
or Czarina.
So in this segment, you can basically declare what is the best yacht rock song. Potentially not the ones that the ones that we just named, right? Because if we already know, like, what's your non-negotiable, but like, what in the world, whether probably expansive, right? The expansive world of yacht rock. What is your favorite yacht rock song? The one song to rule them all.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
For me.
Yeah.
Baby Come Back.
Player. Baby Come Back. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Yeah, I know what the clinical, like, I know what the number one, like, what is Yacht Rock? It's that song is. Okay. That's not my favorite.
That's not yours, right?
Yeah.
What's yours? Like, when Rob sings, I look forward to that song every single night that we do it. Every night I look forward to it. I get so excited.
Mm.
How about you?
Mine might seem pretty predictable, but to me, it encapsulates feel, harmony, melody, sax solo, biggest part of me, Ambrosia.
Yes, I knew that.
Ambrosia. Yeah.
That's classic.
My all-time, that's tough, because I love Heart to Heart.
Karma Comedian, yeah. Culture Club. Woo, for Rob.
The song, when we first formed the band, I was allowed to sing it, but I'm not allowed to sing it anymore because it's outside my range.
Oh. We don't let him.
And it's still the one.
Oh, wow.
But still the one.
Still the one. Yeah.
I love that song.
Ooh.
It's like you said, Mac, there's a groove. It's driving. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that song.
There's a pulse. Yeah.
The obvious
you guys, I would love to know what your two takes are.
You know, it's funny. This is where, like you, Kevin, I kind of, it sort of reveals my Yacht Rock upbringing, if you will, as someone who, I grew up in it, but also like, listening to J.D. Risner and all those guys, right? Like I would kind of listen to them and the whole thing. So like maybe I'm imprinted. I got to go What a Fool Believes, just the bounce, the vocal and the content of the song. It's such a hedonistic concept. This guy's so self-centered and like doesn't figure out like, oh yeah, What a Fool Believes, all this. Like all that, there's a melancholy in Yacht Rock too sometimes. Yeah. And I think even though it has a sunny track, I love the melancholy topic with the, you know, with the sound, which is almost optimistic. So I would say for me, I found that like singing like McDonald is almost like cathartic and like, you know, I don't sound like him, but just whatever I have to do to my voice to do the, you know, like I want, it like releases endorphins, you know what I mean? So like, it's like, it's just therapeutic.
It's like Primal Scream, right?
It is Primal Screaming. It is Primal Screaming. So I wish I could get the Sentimental Fool. There's that note, and that I can't hit that note, and that's why I won't do it karaoke, because I can't hit that note.
But the hard part is Aaron actually taught me that that's the coolest part of Michael McDonald's voice is he goes into a falsetto and you don't even know he's doing it.
Yeah. Sounds like a falsetto.
So smooth.
And he goes up for that.
Yeah.
And he goes up for that part that you're talking about. He's in falsetto.
Oh, that's like the B1 bombers who don't show up on radar. You know, it's like, where'd it go? What happened? Where'd it go? And it's like, oh, it's in the range. She's up in that range. Oh, David, what about you?
It's funny, Mac, that given that you have some of the more, I guess, progressive wing on the Yacht Rock Supreme Court, the strict constructionist.
Yeah, the strict constructionist.
I will share that, like, in my probably my favorite Yacht Rock-ish song, right? This is sort of a little bit more progressive. A more progressive view is, and this is to, I think what Aaron and Kevin were talking about, the feeling of songs of when we were growing up is probably Summer Breeze, Seals and Crofts, is a little bit early, right? It's not in that realm, but it's sort of, it's not in the strict constructionist of Yacht Rock, but certainly one might say adjacent, but it gives me such a feeling of like, you know, just my youth.
It's true. I mean, your choice is such a crowd. Both of your choices are huge moments in our show.
Yeah, that's
when we get to Summer Breeze and when we get to What a Fool Believes, it's like all bets are off. Like you know, we have this very unique perspective of looking at everybody's eyes and faces, and it's really amazing to see how happy people are hearing this music.
You know, you don't get the Live Aid hands all at the same time on What a Fool Believes. You get the simultaneous clapping all at the same. Because to me, that's what's happening in my heart. The live, all the hands. All the same, you know, like a Freddie Mercury kind of thing happening.
Right. Just booming. I almost went into I want to ride my bicycle.
I want to be free. The Docksiders, Rob, Aaron. You know, Kevin, it is such a joy to have you, not on this, but for you doing what you do, and excited for this not just the generosity for supporting Milwaukee artists because the funds raised, but also I just think, again, as we wrap up this calendar year, the joy that you're going to bring to hopefully kick off a new year on New Year's Eve. But before then, let's plug it away. Where can they find the Docsiders? And then how can they also listen to y'all? Getting some self psyched up. How can we listen to you? Also, Aaron, we also want to hear the other project you're doing, which is you. Just plug that too. We want to make sure we plug that as well.
You can find all you need at thedocsiders.com or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Docsiders. Awesome. The Docsiders. Always the Docsiders. Yeah.
We'll have links. Aaron, give us talk. Plug us up on your project as well. Tell us a little bit about that project.
So once COVID hit and we knew that the Docsiders were going to have to take a hiatus, Kevin can't sit still musically or professionally or mentally, and was sitting actually where we're sitting right now and started creating some music. And it was actually initially going to be a Docsiders original that he started playing, and he was going to be singing it. And he was putting all this together, and he had the verse set up, and then I'm walking by with, of course, a couple glasses of wine later, and I start singing the chorus in my head, and I'm walking past his room because he started the chorus, and then I heard the rest of it, which has never happened in my life. I heard the rest of the chorus in my head, and I walk past his office singing it, and he's like, whoa, get in here, come here, sit down and sing this with me. And so I sat down and I sang. And he was like, you know what? This is going to be a song for you. Uh-huh. And that turned into five songs that we co-wrote together, which is something that we have not done in the 20 years that we've been together.
Wow.
It was an incredibly fun, challenging project.
It was a therapeutic project, too. Yeah. Like we had never, like she said, she's traveled all over the world with me, and I've worked in studios, on different continents and been involved in some really cool recording projects, and she always was just, my sweetheart that joined me and was there for support and never offered her opinion, never offered her thoughts, just kind of was, there. And it was very strange where she was singing something, walking by the room. I was like, wait, can you come in here? And she did. And then it was almost weird replicating what she was singing. She was like, I don't know if I should. And I was like, no, we didn't even speak about we should do something together. It was just very organic and it was very natural. And one song turned into two and to five. And we've got three other songs that we haven't even played for people yet that we're still kind of, I don't know where this is going. So we'll just kind of see where.
So is it an EP? Where can we find it?
The EP has been released, but there's more coming. Oh, she doesn't know where to find it. It's Spotify.
Spotify.
Horrible.
Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, everywhere you find
awesome. Music. And what's the name of it? What's the name of the EP?
To the Max.
To the Max. Love it. Awesome.
It's an 80s inspired EP that we borrowed the name from our son, Max. We wanted to kind of pay a little tribute in there.
Lovely. Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Whew. Good stuff. Rob, you got, what are you plugging? Come on, I don't want to leave you out. What do you got?
Hi.
Just in case you had something to play, I don't want to leave you out.
You're awesome. You're awesome. Most of my music is based off of the Docsiders and doing what Kevin throws at me. We've done a couple of original tunes, which I think actually you guys played, or
88.9
played my song, which was amazing.
Wow.
Radio. I'm all in with the Docsiders. That's my. That's my musical thing.
Awesome. So. Until Docsiders becomes like platinum sellers, and then you're gonna have the breakup.
Then I'll plug that.
Then we'll do the Lennon McCartney thing.
I'm gonna have my own shoe. Rob Martin Docsiders shoe.
I love it.
So Rob's got his own dog training collar line.
Oh, I like it. Love it. Rob, Kevin, and Aaron, thanks again. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today, and we're so excited to plug and promote, and again, and savor the joyful music that y'all are putting out and the genre. That is Kevin Suker, Aaron Suker, and Rob Martin of the Docsiders. Thanks so much, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
I know we all live in Zoom boxes, or at least those of us who work in this way, but it, to me, their warmth exudes through it. And that's what, yeah, that's what, you know, the joy that they have, the appreciation, you know, and connection they have with each other. You
with
can
each other,
we see it,
yeah,
we see it on stage, yeah, but I had it in the pod, you know, they're finishing right. each other's sentences. They're giggling at each other. I mean, that's, we need a lot of that right now. And so it's such a joy. Again, I like the music and I like them as people, but it's even just overall, it's a synergy of both is really lovely. And I'm so excited that they're going to help us meet our goal of hitting $100,000 raised to support 200 artists in the holiday. So big kudos to them. And I'm looking forward to catching the show on New Year's Eve.
I think you've really hit on that point about the connection between them is so palpable on stage that you know, if we actually publish the video, you can see it, right? You can see how, why they're such a tight band and such a great experience to see, but then also to be able to spend the time with them is just, it's never a bad time when you're with them. So super fun.
You know what's never a bad time?
Being with our listeners, but
that's
there's
right.
there is a little bit of programming note though, right?
Oh, we are, go ahead.
We are, Mac and I are, we're not taking the last 2 weeks off because we have a ton of stuff to do, but the show is going to be a little bit different these next 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to have our team on we're going to be doing sort of a special edition of Creating Your Best Food Day. That's going to be next week. It's going to be a fun show. It's in the can, and you all are in for a really great treat. And then for the week of New Year's, we will be doing an all staff sort of 2020 time capsule. So the format of the show is going to change over the next 2 weeks. As we sort of include the rest of the team, bring everybody together, but we will resume our normal Imagine This Podcast chicanery after the new year. And then forgot one, the biggest news, Mac, we didn't include in the news notes. Our annual meeting, Looking Back, Imagining Forward, is this Friday.
That's right. Looking Back, Imagining Forward. That's right.
This is how much stuff is going on in our shop that like...
Well, I think I'm glad we stuck it at the end because you want to leave people with what are they going to do next? And they're going to come this Friday to watch on StreamYard, or I'm sorry, watch on Facebook as we
YouTube,
put it on
right.
YouTube, and we're going to stream out Looking Back, Imagining Forward.
Yeah, go to our website.
Season Ender.
The Season Ender. Go to our website. It's in the 2020 Reports page to RSVP for the meeting to get more details. But yeah, 2020, Looking Back, Imagining Forward, this Friday at noon. Catch us on Facebook and the YouTube to reflect and to look forward with us.
So, again, thanks listener for hanging with us again for another Tuesday. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and post about it on social or leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is edited by me, David Lee, and hosted and produced by MacArthur Antigua and me, David Lee. It is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network. Go listen to our sibling pods, Arts Forward MKE and Black Imagination, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
Catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, the enterprise. Hit us up at Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE. Or if you prefer hanging out at Facebook before it gets broken up, you can catch us at Imagine MKE over there.
Thanks again. We will catch you next Tuesday, unless we see you on Friday at our annual event.
Bye.
We never told you this, but Rob and I for years had our very own podcast before podcasts
was a thing
worth really like cool. We had a podcast that was called Life Lessons with Kevin and Rob.
Nice.
And it was two losers take on everything you needed to know about life. And we used to take callers
Yeah.
And we would advertise in advance, and callers would call us between a certain hour break in the evenings, and we would record and edit, and we would give the worst advice you could ever imagine. And we thought it was fun.
So it's basically
I'm not going to say it was the worst advice.
Yeah, he's like, wait. I was actually trying. He's like, I was trying.
I literally put effort into it.
I didn't get the. You missed the team meeting. We're like, we aligned on the plan. It's like,
oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were just having fun. I didn't.
That was great.
Everybody signed waivers.